James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live and includes readings from the Old and New Testaments and a reflection. Our readings today are taken from 2 Chronicles 17, verses 1 to 12, and Mark 15, verses 1 to 15. The reflection is by the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, entitled Going with the Crowd.
So our reading today from the Old Testament is 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 1 to 12. There is a few names in it. I will skip the names, but it won't change the kind of the flow of the text. His son, Jehoshaphat, succeeded him and strengthened himself against Israel. He placed forces in all the fortified cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim that his father Asa had taken. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the early ways of his father. He did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father and walked in all his commandments and not according to the ways of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand. All Judah brought tribute to Jehoshaphat, and he had great riches and honor. His heart was courageous in the ways of the Lord, and furthermore, he removed the high places and the sacred poles from Judah. In the third year of his reign, he sent his officials to teach in the cities of Judah. With them were the Levites, and with these Levites, the priests. They taught in Judah, having the book of the law of the Lord with them. They went around through all the cities of Judah and taught among the people. The fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the lands around Judah, and they did not make war against Jehoshaphat. Some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents and silver for tribute. And the Arabs also brought him 7,700 rams and 7,700 male goats. Jehoshaphat grew steadily greater. He built fortresses and storage cities in Judah. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And moving on to our New Testament reading. Thank you, Lynn.
New Testament reading is taken from Mark 15, verses 1 to 15. As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered him, "You say so." Then the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again, "Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. Now, at the festival, he used to release a prisoner for them, anyone for whom they asked. Now, a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom. Then he answered them, Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews? For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate spoke to them again. "Then what do you wish me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" And they shouted back, "Crucify him." Pilate asked them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he was handed over to be crucified. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you very much, Lynn. Again, if there is a word, a sentence, or something that spring, do share. My main thought at the first reading was what's the expression? A breath of fresh air. A breath of fresh air. If you know a little bit about the Old Testament reading, Two Chronicles, is often bad news than good news. Often kings that don't do the will of God and things go bad, and a few who do the will of God. And kind of this Jehoshaphat is a breath of fresh air in a time of upheaval. Give you a little bit of background. By the time this is written down, the kingdom of Israel is actually split into two. So it's not one nation in a sense anymore. We have a northern kingdom called Israel, but it's not the whole of the Israelites people, we would say, the people of God. Then you have the southern kingdom, which is Judah, and with its capital, Jerusalem. And so Jehoshaphat is the ruler of that part of, we could say, the whole of Israel. So they're called Judah, and north is called Israel. And the king of Israel is doing their own bits, not following the laws of God. But this king, quite amazing, follow his father's footsteps, and it says, walked in the earlier ways of his fathers. He doesn't go to foreign gods. Here we hear about Baals, but follows the covenant, the book of the law that he has received from his ancestor. Not only that, but he goes, sent people around all the cities to teach them. We hear they're taught in Judah, having the book of the law of the Lord with them. They went around through all the cities of Judah and taught among the people. And that little sentence, the fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms. And it brought life, it brought protection, it brought wealth and prosperity. Even the nations surrounding Judah came to bring presents and tributes. So it must have been a nice time to live in Judah under that king. And we know from scripture that we can't equate obedience with always wealth and blessing and protection, but we always equate obedience with being safe in God's hand, whatever that means, being at peace, knowing that we're in the will of God and that God is with us. And I think that's what we see in the passage of Mark. Jesus is falsely accused. Even Pilate recognizes that the priest and the leaders are doing that out of jealousy. And but Jesus remains silent. He who is the one who at the beginning of creation was present and with the Father and the Holy Spirit co-created our world. He could have changed that situation very quickly. Could have called out myriads of angels to fight the enemies. He could have changed that situation for, in a sense, for him. But he knew he was fully in the will of the Father. He was accomplishing something much more important, giving his life on our behalf. And so what looks like a defeat, what looks like being in a place where he has no power, actually he is the strongest character there in that passage, being faithful to the call of God and bringing about what we didn't know at the time, bringing about the greatest victory on all enemies, and the biggest one being sin, our rebellion, which we see here, how rebellious. They don't realize who Jesus is, and they shout, crucify him, destroy his voice, destroy his ministry. But of course, through doing that, they haven't destroyed. Actually, the door was wide open for us to receive grace and mercy and forgiveness. And for the greatest of all enemy, the curse that came through the disobedience of our first ancestor, Adam and Eve, the disobedience that brought death, that separation, physical separation, but also spiritual separation from God. And so Jesus, through that, conquered the enemy of sin and death so that we could find life and life in all its fullness. So two different texts, two obedient people, and we need to look sometimes underneath to understand events and what God is doing in situations. Anything for you, Lynn, that you felt?
I don't suppose they're necessarily connected, but it's more a comment. But the time the Bible uses the word fear of the Lord, I'd love to know what the translation, because it's not fear of, oh my goodness, is it? It's respect. It's respect. It's and yet it's used so often. I ought to see what I don't know how I would find out, but you know, in the scriptures, why is it always the fear of the Lord when in my way you think, well, because I'm frightened of him, I've got to do it right, but that's not what it is, is it? It's respect and love of the Lord that you know, we do what we try to do as well. Anyway, that's a little aside. I just thought, you know, I often think about it. It's all with the New Testament and, you know, this shouting, crucify, crucify. How easy it is for all of us to go with the crowd. You know, sometimes it's easier to say nothing. So when we say nothing, are we going with the crowd? I don't know. Sometimes we'd say, don't we, in this country, you know, those with the loudest voice get their way. And, you know, it's not necessarily the right thing. So, yeah. And the other word I wrote down is with the situation in the world at the moment, and, you know, peace talks for Ukraine and Russia and Gaza and the whole Middle East. You know, our prayer as Christians is raise up the peacemakers above this absolute raging that seems to be going on. This chaos that's going on, and Jesus is our peacemaker, isn't he? And so we've got to shout a loud voice. We've got to raise our voices. And yeah. Anyway, has really nothing to do with.
No. It's good. Yeah. I mean, I quickly googled fear of the Lord and different way of translating. So in Hebrew, it's the word yira, which is fear or awe or reverence, or the reverence, the awe of the Lord.
Yeah, awe. But, I like that word.
It's interesting that in the Greek, it they translate it as phobos, like phobia, which is more strange, you know, like it feels like a. But it also can be translated reverence and respect. So
I like awe.
It's about being in awe, reverence, deep respect. And I think what helps is when we are faced to someone in authority who is good, but also has power and that kind of awe that we can have, you know, whether it's, you know, royal family or people who in authority, and the deep respect that we have. In various languages, so in French, we have kind of fear and reverence, la crainte. But in Spanish, they use the word tremor. Tremor. And then in German, they use the awe-filled reverence. An awe-filled reverence. So it has this idea of being in awe and full of reverence that leads, of course, to then obey and follow, because we know the best things to And unfortunately, you know, my title, which I don't really like, is Reverend, which that should be for God, Reverend, no Reverend.
What's in a name? Omnipotent. But I like awe, so that will stick in my mind when I'm reading in fear.
Awe. Awe of the Lord.
Because I am in awe of the Lord.
And that's it. It's that have this awe that's big wide open eyes that
magnificent.
Well, let's pray for the day, the world, the church, knowing that we come to a God who's awesome, full of all
mm.
and able to come into any situations to bring life and life in all its fullness. You know, reading, Lord, today we could start to imagine what the people living under Jehoshaphat felt. Maybe they felt that sense of awe and gratitude for a leader who put into motion a good way of life, telling everybody the commandments of the Lord, acting justly and seeking to honor you. And there was a sense of awe and fear. They knew who you were, and they lived times of peace and prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
And yet in the other passage, we see a very different context, yet the same faithfulness, Jesus following and trusting you to the end. Lord, whether we are in a time of peace and prosperity, or whether we live in time of turmoil, may we be found faithful to you, trusting in your goodness, in your faithfulness, and in your ability to save and guide.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.